I think one of the biggest challenges that we have in sales is just getting someone's attention long enough so that they hear us out. And then from there, hopefully, they'll grant us an appointment and we can begin the quote-unquote courtship. And, you know, there's a lot of channels that we use in sales. And I'm sure everybody will agree that by far, the two noisiest channels right now are clearly the phone and email. Now, what happens with email, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, is, and I have some bad news for you, and you know me, I'm an optimist, so I'm not going to just sit here and complain and rant and piss and moan like, you know, like a little bitch over here. It, you know, I have some thoughts that can help you, but, you know, we have to be able, you know, like that, you can't handle the truth, we got to be able to handle the truth. 60 to 80%. Of sales emails are not even opened. I want to say that again, just in case you're thinking, did he say what I thought he just said? 60 to 80% of sales emails are not even opened. So what that tells us is really several things, but for now, it tells us that most of these emails are failing at the subject line, right? We're failing to intrigue them enough in that subject line to have them say, let me see what this Castain dude has to say. So if you're lucky enough now to be in that top 20 to 40% that get the email open and they're going to hear you out, I'm going to tell you right now that now it becomes like, you know, like Indiana Jones escaping all these obstacles. We got through the first thing, right? It's kind of like that boulder rolling after us. Now, like, okay, you just like get like a breath of fresh air. And the next challenge comes. And the challenge is that we fail to intrigue them enough in the first three sentences. In fact, let me say it another way. Let me be a little more dramatic. Most emails crash and burn within the first three sentences of an email. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we're not getting their attention in the subject line and why we're not really getting enough of their attention in the first few sentences and then certainly throughout the rest of the email, because you'd have to agree that that's really where the whole tone of the email and the whole interest level has to be created between the subject line and just after the greeting, right? That opening remark. There are some reasons for it. And, you know, some of them is because, I mean, there's a ton of emails that people are sending and receiving each and every day. One of my many pet statistics that have become like Paulisms here on my podcast has to do with the amount of emails that are sent and received each and every day, according to Radicati Group, which I don't know what they were thinking when they came up with the name of their organization. That is a pain in the ass to say. I could not imagine being able to say that, like, after having consumed a few drinks. I mean, what the hell were they thinking? But anyway, I'm not here to – I said I wouldn't rant. But they say that we're sending and receiving about 110 emails each and every day. I can tell you that based on my experience and the people I've worked with, and, you know, I have this crazy habit of asking people that are higher up in an organization, hey, you know, how many emails are you sending and receiving each and every day? I've done my own informal polls over on LinkedIn. I've done them on the Facebook page that I have for the Sales Playbook community. I've done them through email surveys and things like that. And what I found is that, well, first of all, feel free to say duh, the higher up in the organization you go, the more emails they're sending and receiving. Wow, that makes you brilliant, Castain. This is why you make the big bucks and have a podcast, right? I mean, wow, like Captain Obvious time. What I found, it's about 250 to as much as 350 emails each and every day when you're at that C level, and many of you are selling to people at that level. The other thing that you have to realize why your emails are crashing and burning is because there is just a tremendous amount of noise right now in the business world. Tremendous amount in life, if you think about it. Does anybody else notice, or is it just like all us like old folk that, like, I'm just noticing that just seems like more and more stuff in life, more and more stuff. I don't just mean, like, personal problems or anything else. I just more and more noise and more stuff I'm doing on my phone and emails and just, like, a lot of things taking my attention away from me. And, you know, and just, again, more pet statistics. You've heard me say this. It's got to be a million times, and you'll probably hear it a million more because I'm not gonna stop being me. According to Fast Company magazine, the average person is exposed to about 3,000 advertising messages per day. Now, if you're like me and you're a pain in the ass and maybe a little skeptical of a number like 3,000 ads, really, let's just say that Fast Company magazine was completely full of shit when they said 3,000 ads. Let's just say they, like the boss said, I need everybody to think of something so that we could sell a lot of magazines. And, you know, some wise ass came in and said, hey, we're going to say that like the average person is exposed to 3,000 ads, so they'll want to see what we were talking about. Let's just say that it's like even like it's more like 500 a day. I think it's 3,000, but let's just say what the hell. It's like 500 because Fast Company magazine lied. I don't know. That's still like 500 times a day. They're not thinking about you, right? So the average person, this one you're going to want to really pay attention to. This is one of the newer bits of my like pet statistics, right? This is like the newer stuff. The average person now consumes about 34 gigabytes of information each and every day. Think about that. That is a tremendous amount of information. How much? Well, again, if you're like me, you'd wonder, like, that sounds like a lot. That sounds impressive. But, like, what the hell does that look like? Like, I just got to know what that looks like. 34 gigabytes is about 100,000 words each and every day. It is the equivalent of a novel and a half that you are consuming. It's like reading a novel and a half each and every day. And you ready for this? It's the equivalent. You know, like how we say, like, War and Peace, and we're kind of, like, funny about it. We're like, oh, man, you sent me, like, a War and Peace email. Or that TPS report Castain did, it was, like, War and Peace, right? Well, 100,000 words a day is actually the equivalent of reading War and Peace every 4 days. That's what we're consuming right now. And that's what you have going against you. Now, you know, the other thing that I think that we need to talk about, right, and we're not going to go into great detail right now, but I think out of respect to the recipient, people who are buyers, people who are decision makers, they have become a lot more astute and they can sniff out a really bad sales pitch like a million miles away. How about you guys? I mean, I know we're in sales and everything. When all of a sudden somebody is giving you a sales pitch, can you sniff it out? And remember, yeah, I mean, yes, you sell for a living, and I would think that you would be a little more in tune to that and everything else. But imagine now, if you were a person who a very big part of your job description would involve people trying to sell you stuff. You are a buyer for that company. You are the decision maker for that company. You're going to have a lot of people always trying to sell you something. You get pretty good at sniffing out BS. You get pretty good at sniffing out sales pitches. But really, when you look at how busy people are and how distracted and how consumed they are, what that forces is a snap decision, right? And I think we do this too. You guys can relate to that, right? Well, you probably relate to it like once I explain what the hell I'm talking about. But a snap decision when it comes to emails, if we're getting all these emails and stuff, which we do in sales, we get a lot, we're no different. Well, you get an email, and very quickly you're in scanning mode. And when you're scanning, you're basically answering the question, what's in it for me? Is this worthy of my time? And you're making a very quick decision. That quick decision is usually made at the subject line. Is this something that I really feel like reading? And it's like subconscious if you think about it. You're not like out loud saying, I wonder if this is worth my time. No, it's just like how we're programmed right now. It's almost a reflex for us. And then you know, if you get past the subject line in the first three sentences, you're trying to see if this is something you want to read. Hey, God forbid they actually send you a War and Peace email. I don't know about you. I'm not reading it. I'm not reading it unless it's like an entire War and Peace novel about all the money you're giving me. That's about the only case where I would do it. Or if you were telling me about new and exciting ways I could sneak tequila into a drink or a boring sales meeting, I would read a good part of it. I'm still not giving you my I would read it all guarantee. But You know, we really have a lot going against us when it comes to these sales emails. Now, the thing that I want to tell you is that I really have been putting a lot of my efforts into this because, you know, sometimes you guys forget I'm not just the guy hanging out with you in the car on the podcast, but I'm in sales too. I've never stopped selling. That's actually one of my selling points, believe it or not. When I talk to organizations and they're considering hiring a sales trainer, one of the things I mention is that, you know, I don't just write about sales. Every single day I am selling, and no disrespect, nobody get like all butthurt about this, but I'm here to tell you that as much as I love you guys, you are the most difficult audience in the world to sell to. And by the way, I'm in there with you because I'm a salesperson. I'm kind of dissing myself here. But, you know, we are the most stubborn people on the planet, right? We are the most egotistical people on the planet. So I've got to go and sell something to people that they pretty much feel either they don't need, or maybe like they're being punished now, like, and they got to go through sales training, like, I suck that bad that I have to train, you know, like that kind of thing. And, you know, so I've kind of had to figure out what the hell to do with emails. It's such a big part of what I do. And one of the reasons why I like using emails, and I was going to say, feel free to disagree, but I'm not going to hear you. So, like, don't disagree. I mean, or you can, and you could send me an email or whatever, but, you know, like, the moment's going to be lost. But, I mean, the thing that I like the most about email is that I find that a lot of people just aren't picking up their phones anymore. And I'm getting a lot of voicemail. And I'm not here, and I hope that you guys know my position on cold calling and other forms of outreach. I don't think the cold call is dead. I just think it's like really lonely and it needs companionship from other forms of outreach. And the reason why I like email is that I find I get a lot more success that way. And when I do it right, I can actually warm up the cold call or have them anticipate the call or another type of sales touch. I could tell them to watch for a really cool FedEx I'm sending them or some kind of a package or something else. I was attempting to connect with a decision maker on LinkedIn. They had not responded. I wasn't sitting here crying in my tequila. Instead, I sent them an email and, you know, I said a few words in it as like, well, I should. It's an email. You should, like, I wouldn't just send them a blank email. And one of the things I mentioned is why I thought it might be valuable for us to connect on LinkedIn. And there was actually a good reason. It was very relevant to this person. And it worked marvelously. And I never say marvelously. But anyway, what I'm going to be doing, if you're interested, now that I've spent about 12 minutes with you, I just didn't spend all this time with you to get us saying, yeah, emails suck, oh, we're doomed, or whatever, right? That's not my style. I want to let you know that on September 1st, I'm going to be hosting a webinar, and it's called How to Write Awesome Emails. Now, come on, be honest with me. Is that like not one of the better titles that I've come up with? Like, I was like, what the hell should I call this? Because I've done email webinars before. So it's like, and I've got all this new information that I've been working on. I make it like such a study. Like, I'm looking at like what subject lines get the highest open rates and stuff. And I track it percentage-wise with some email software that I have and everything. And, you know, it's always good if you come up with a good name for a product. So it's called How to Write Awesome Emails. Let me tell you what I'm going to be sharing with you. I actually have 10 different types of emails that I'm personally using in my my selling efforts that get results. Again, remember, I'm like the evil scientist here trying to see what works. Sometimes, like, you know, like I'll mix two things together and like blow all the hairs off my goatee. And I'm like, okay, note to self, don't do that again. Other times, man, it's like, okay, do that, and people actually respond to you. How freaking cool is that? So not only am I going to show you 10 different types of emails that are getting results, I'm actually going to give you the templates for them. How cool is that? So you're not only going to learn about it, but you're going to get like a little plug-and-play type of thing here for your selling efforts. So like the minute you get off the damn webinar, you can go and like make the money back that you just invested with your Uncle Paul here. Also, we're going to talk, because remember I said most emails crash and burn with the subject line. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about actually 12 subject line mistakes that I'm pretty confident that if you're like me, that you're making them. I mean, seriously, like I've made every one of these mistakes that I'm going to share with you. And what happens is these mistakes leave your email unopened. And that, I mean, that's horrible. Like, it's like you didn't even get a chance to show up and compete when that happens. So the other thing that we're going to talk about, because when I just hear the piss and moan about bad subject lines, we're going to talk about 12 subject lines. You ready? You ready for this? Wait for it. They get your email read. How cool is that? We're going to talk about one absolutely epic mistake just about everyone makes. Again, raising my hand right now. You can't see me saying guilty because I used to make this mistake up until about 2, maybe 3 years ago. And by the way, you guys should know this by now, man. I am no spring chicken. I have been selling now for 33 years at the ripe old age of 51. So I went the bulk of my sales career completely effing up the first paragraph of my sales emails. So what we're going to do is show you how to completely reverse that. And also a simple, you ready for this? A simple three-part email structure that will immediately position you apart from your competitors. I don't know what is compelling me to do this, but I want to say that again. A simple three-part email structure that will immediately position you apart from your competitors. We're going to talk about two psychological techniques that work like a charm. How to dramatically increase your response rates. And then also, this might be pretty cool. This one, a lot of people have given me feedback on and said, Castain, you are like a mind reader. Thank you. God bless you and yours for this. They didn't say that, but I think they felt it in their heart, man. It was implied somewhere in there. And but anyway, what we're going to do is I'm going to show you four ways to get email addresses without spending a dime. I mean, you go out and buy email lists and many of them are just not accurate. And by the way, because I love to rant, I have purchased lists from major companies. I'm not going to name drop because then I'll get sued and I'm going to lose my damn podcast and my ability to impart wisdom and sarcasm and drinking choices to the sales community. I have purchased lists and I know for a fact that some of these people on the list were deceased. That I swear to you, because like out in Long Island, New York, I remember like just like a year or two, like getting this list and I'm looking, I'm like, I know for a fact that these three people here died like 2004. And some of these other people have like left the industry completely. This other person like has been living over like in Europe since 2006 and their listed is, you know, living on Long Island and all this kind of nonsense. But anyway, we're going to show you how to do this. If this is something that interests you, and I really hope it does. In fact, I can tell you that whenever I do some kind of an email program, my sales just like, I mean, they go apeshit. And I like from a development perspective, I think maybe I have to start offering more of this to you guys. That and whenever I do cold calling stuff. So I don't know why the hell I'm teaching you guys the other stuff. Maybe because you need to know it. But maybe I should be like a smart businessman here and do more email courses because I will tell you, they blow away any other courses that I do. I just announced this in, I think it was like a day ago. And already I think we're up to like, I don't know if it was like 500 or 550 people have signed up for this. That tells me that you guys want to learn about this. So if you'd like to learn more about this and reserve your spot, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. And remember, you might have heard the date and you might have said, oh man, Castain, you know, I loved what you were sharing here, man. You reeled me in, dude. You are a master salesman, man. You are awesome. But I can't make it on September 1st. My advice to you guys is always sign up anyway, not so you like make a donation to me at that like on something you're never going to use, but because I deliver these things live, I tape them, and then I send out the recording to everyone. And you know how it is, like if you've ever watched like a recording of a webinar, it's like you're there. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, it's like I'm there, but if I want to ask you a question, how do I do it? Very simple. I'm not going to just take your money and like, you know, head on out to Vegas, get all liquored up and just like play craps and stuff with Mrs. Uncle Paul. Although that'd be pretty cool. I don't know if I want to play craps with her though. Liquored up in Vegas is pretty cool. But the deal is this, is that any webinar, any course that I do, whatever it is, you always get, which sounds corny, you get me. And what I mean by that is that you're going to have questions. I understand that. So you can email me any questions that you might have. So again, whether you can make it on that day or not, sign up. I'll send it to you by the following day on September 2nd, and you can go at your own pace. How cool is that? So visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I'm wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks.